Today's program fueled your excitement about Jesus, tell someone, and share your story with us, too. Tomorrow's program helps us see God's perspective on hardship. I hope you'll join us for part two of God is Able, Friday on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
God's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning into the Refresh radio program. Boy, do I like the sound of that this morning. I can hear myself really, really good in here today. So I pray that you are having a great day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God. But we are not just here for the congregation that gathers on the corners of Grove and Tangerine in Merritt Island. We are here for you. And we have always had on the beginning of the program, if there's anything that you need us to pray with you about, give us a communication, either email at merrittassembly@hotmail.com, or you can contact us on our Facebook page. You can send us a message there. I've had people that have done that. And you can call us at 321-454-4263. And if you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, we love to introduce people to Jesus. A person said to me one time, they said, "Bob, you make Jesus sound so real." It's like, well, that's the easiest job in the world because he is. He is so very real. And we would love to pray the prayer of faith with you. Maybe you're just going through a difficult season. You need a word of encouragement. You can give us a call, and someone from our church would be more than glad to pray with you and help to, you know, focus your eyes and your attention on the goodness of God. So praise the Lord for everything that he is doing. I do want to take you back to the Word of God today. We're going to begin reading in verse number 11, and we'll see how far we get today. But we're talking about God delivering us from evil. Now, this portion of scripture we're going to be reading is just a portion of this psalm. Verse number 4 said, "I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." Verse number 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." So there's a great number of benefits to those who walk in awe of God, who have been delivered from all of their fears, all of their terrors, all of their adversity. And so we're going to lead on up. The end of the psalm also talks about the deliverance that God has for us. So let's begin reading today at Psalm 34, verse number 11. "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." So we left off yesterday talking about, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So you can go back and listen to the end of yesterday's program. But that is a lesson that each one of us needs to have. You know, when I was in high school, I thought that once you got out of high school, you were pretty much done with learning. I have discovered that as long as you're breathing, you're never done learning. In fact, some of the people that I know are in their 40s and 50s. Some of us need younger people who can teach us how to use some of the technology that has come up that they grew up with. Change was never anything they were afraid of. Every year in school, you pretty much change teachers. Your classmates change. Your clothes size change. Your skill set changes. Your voice changes. Your figure changes. There's all sorts of changes that are going on. Then you continue to have birthdays, and then you get to drive, and that's a change. And you go off to school. Everything about being young is all about change. Then we think that we get to a certain point and there's not going to be any changes anymore. And I want you to know that everything changes but God. God never changes. And so we need to continue to learn. I don't think that I am done learning the fear of the Lord. I believe that if you have not started on that journey, you need to approach someone at your church or a staff person, a friend, and say, let's go on this journey. Let's discover what it's like to get a master's degree, if you will, in the fear of the Lord. It might not look good on a resume for a job, but it's going to look great on the resume of heaven. Okay? Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? I tell you, if you and I do that, then we're going to do the things that God says. So if we desire life, we've got to have Jesus in our life. I mean, if you truly have that longing to live life to the fullest, it is not about just this adventure or another adventure. Here a couple of weeks ago at church, on Wednesday night, there were some people discussing some of the things that they had done, and it was exhilarating. It was breathtaking. And, you know, those sorts of things are fun. They're kind of like indelible moments. You know, they're marked on the calendar, and those are kind of the things that you never forget. But that's not really, life is more than just adventure. Life is the quality of life, and it's fulfilling the purpose of your life. I believe that we ought to be able to do life with peace, that we ought to be able to do life with joy. We ought to be able to do life with holiness. So we're going to, because we love life, we want to live long and see many days and see good things. We've got to honor our father and mother, because that's one of the things that the Bible commands us to do if we want to enjoy life. You know, much of what the world says is the way to enjoy life is actually the exact opposite. It's a way to cut your life short. It's a way to increase your misery. It's a way that's going to increase pain and suffering in your life, your finances, and your relationships. You don't want that. How many times have you heard somebody say life doesn't come with an instruction manual? It actually does. It's called the Bible, the Word of God. Jesus came that we might live life to the full. And so in order to do that, we need to hear what people who've experienced the goodness of God have to teach us. David knew what it was like for his life to be in jeopardy, and he knew what it was like when God delivered his life from every point of adversity. Here's what he says. Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your tongue from evil. You know, you see things when you are dealing with young people. And we live in a society that is pretty challenging for young people. There are a lot of young people that, you know, they people form an initial impression about them from their skin color or their height or some other feature about them, and there's an opinion made about them before a word is ever spoken. And that's unjust. It's just flat out unjust. But what I have discovered is that many times young people, even though they're willing to recognize that they are not being treated justly, if you listen to them talk, you will find that they do the exact same thing. You know, it's in the book of Romans where it talks about that people who are condemning others for doing something are actually practicing the exact same thing in their own life. I remember a time when I was on staff at a church and was helping out. It wasn't my production. It was a Christmas play. And the person in charge of the Christmas play sent me to retrieve a piece of furniture. And the person I was sent to retrieve it from, I said, I'm here to take this in there. And they said, have I been asked? And I was like, well, excuse me. Have I been asked? What kind of question is that? And I remember the attitude that I had towards that person. It was a few weeks later, and I was not having the greatest day in the world, and somebody came up and made a statement to me, and before I could say boo-hoo, the words that came out of my mouth sounded very familiar, and it was this: well, have I been asked? And I'll tell you why that one was so memorable. It was because the Holy Spirit reminded me how distasteful I had found that attitude when I saw it in someone else's life. As a result, I repented right then and there. You say, well, did the person that you encountered repent of their action? I don't know. Don't care. It wasn't about what am I going to say? I don't have to repent because that person didn't have to repent. That's ludicrous. It's just plain dumb. And so I wanted to embrace forgiveness, whether that person did or not. Keep your tongue from evil. Now, remember, we are talking about the Lord's Prayer. Lord, deliver us from evil. One of the ways that God delivers us from evil is he helps to control our tongue. If you read in the book of James, we are incapable in our own strength, in our own power, to be able to restrain our own tongue. We need God's help to be able to do that. Okay? There's a video here a few weeks ago about a lady who was encouraging people on how to avoid catching, you know, a virus and keep your hands in your face or keep your hands away from your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Don't touch your face. And she went to turn the page and she automatically licked her fingers and turned the page, and everybody was like, oh, doggone, you just demonstrated exactly what not to do. And, it's hard. It's hard. You see, in order for us to control our tongue, we've got to allow God to change our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we've got evil living in our heart, evil's going to come out of our mouth. That's why whenever I hear people who use profanity on a regular basis, it disturbs me. It doesn't disturb me when I hear it coming out of the world's mouth. It bothers me when I hear Christians who have things going on in their heart and it's coming out on a regular basis. Now, I will tell you that there have been times when my mouth said words that it should not have said. And it didn't take me long. I don't even know that the words had finished going forth with power and landed on the ground before the Holy Spirit was dealing with me about, well, that wasn't the right thing to say. And I want you to know it wasn't even a secret. I talked to the spiritual authorities in my life, and I said, look, I need to ask forgiveness. And you know, thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. I'm not saying that we're never going to get frustrated or we're never going to have a moment. What I am saying is we cannot have our mouth doing the devil's bidding all the time and experience long days, good days, and desirable days. He says, and your lips from speaking deceit. The problem with lying, one of the problems with lying, is that if you become very skilled at lying, you no longer have the ability to recognize the truth. One of the downsides of lying is that if I know you've lied to me, then you lack credibility across the board. And so wouldn't it be great if we had the reputation of speaking the truth in love? Some people have no problem speaking the truth, but they don't have any, they don't apply it with mercy and grace and love. I mean, they're just brutal. I mean, beat you up with the truth. We need to make sure that our lips are doing the work of the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth, instead of the devil's business, and he's the father of lies. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So there are a number of things that the Bible talks about that we are supposed to pursue. Before I get to that, verse number 14, the first part says, depart from evil and do good. So if you know something that is going on that is evil, that is wicked, that is not godly, stop it. Don't just create a void in your life, though. Replace that ungodly pursuit with a godly pursuit. Do what is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. And so it says, seek peace and pursue it. So here a couple of weeks ago, we have one of our board members that gets up and receives the offering, and he doesn't know what I'm going to preach, and I don't know what he's getting ready to say. And so he gets up and he says, I want to tell you here about 1 Corinthians Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14, and it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And he went on and he said, we're supposed to be pursuing the peace of God. And And the reason that I'm telling you this is because after he got done, as the ushers were serving and receiving the offering, I had him come over, and I said, I want to show you the passage that I'm preaching. And it was Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Let me just tell you that we have got to be in passionate pursuit of peace. First of all, we need peace with God. We need peace in our home. We need peace in our own life. We need peace at church. We need peace at work. And so we have to chase after it with the intention of catching it. And we not only do this with some, but we do it with everybody. You know, one of the strangest questions that you hear asked on TV programs is if their character gets killed, they will say something, well, did they have any enemies? And, you know, every once in a while, no, they didn't have any enemies whatsoever. And you come to find out they had a whole bunch of enemies, just nobody really knew about it. But we pursue peace with all people. This is primarily the way that I grew up. I wanted everybody to like me. I could be friends with anybody. I could be friends with the intellectuals. I could be friends with the athletic. I could be friends with just about every group of people. And so there were people that considered me their friend that I didn't even know they knew my name. I mean, one of the great things that happened to me when I went to high school was they put me in a class with older kids. So I had most of my classes with people that I had grown up with, and then I got to high school, and I began to build relationships with those who were a year or two older than me. And then they said, you know, I don't know how we did this, but we messed up your schedule, and you've got to go back and take another class. And so my math teacher is wanting me to go on, and she's saying, but you've got to go back and take this class. So the next year, I was building relationships with people who were younger than I was. And so I just wanted to get along with everybody. I wanted to get along in school. And so when I went to college, and there was a person, and they got really upset with me over something that I didn't do. And that really, really bothered me. And so I don't even know what happened to them, but it was like, you know, I didn't do that person thinks that I was what I was actually, I didn't do what they think that I did, but I couldn't do anything to restore that relationship. You and I, we have to be pursuing the things we're supposed to pursue, whether anybody else joins us in the pursuit or not. Tommy Tenney wrote a book probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago, called The God Chasers. You know, pursue peace. I will tell you this. Holiness is not optional. A lot of people have a faulty understanding of what holiness is. They think it's a list of rules of do's and don'ts. Holiness is living in a manner that is pleasing to God, that's going to help fulfill His holy purposes in our life. The problem with lists of do's and don'ts is those lists change. Things that were viewed on as taboo when I was growing up is now considered goody-goody. That's, you know, every once in a while, that's a little mind-bending. So let me read a few more verses here. and tell you. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about those things because we've already talked about them so much. God is looking at you. He's looking inside you. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. There is no place that you can go that you are going to be obscured from God's vision. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, we have signs up at our church that said this, smile, you're on camera. And so when my daughter got married back in November, my family came in. I was walking my brother around the church, and he just got this big old smile on his face. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, it said to smile because I was on camera. And you know, I just forgot about the sign. It's a good thing when we're walking, knowing that God is looking out for us because he's got perspective that we don't necessarily have. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. God is willing and longing and actively listening for us. He says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, let me help you to understand what that is about. Does that mean that God is playing favorites? Nope, exactly the opposite. It means that if you are on a path that is leading to destruction, God stands in your way trying to get you back on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It's not opposition because he hates you. It's opposition because he loves you. That's a huge, huge blessing. And so, if you've got some things going on in your life, I pray that you will pay attention to the Holy Spirit, to that still small voice. When he's, listen, I have this rule in my life, and that is this. If the Holy Spirit convicts me of something, and other person says it's okay, I choose to listen to the Holy Spirit and repent of that. You want God on your side today. Let's pursue him and the peace he brings. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.